tree?
This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. Seth Merrow and Sully Crotty. Sully, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. Before we get underway, I always want to thank our friends at Woodbine for their sponsorship. Woodbine, pick, bet, and cheer on great racing north of the border. During our handicapping segment, we'll take a look at a little stakes action today at Woodbine, and we'll also have some Woodbine during OTB Live a little bit later this afternoon. So again, thanks to them for their sponsorship. Top of the show, we'll do some stakes recaps, have a little handicapping after that, and then towards the end of the program, we will be visited by Frank Vespi from the RacingBiz.com. Great coverage of racing in the Mid-Atlantic region. Frank yesterday at Laurel for Maryland Millions Day. So we'll go over some of their stakes yesterday as well, as there was a nice stakes action. I think Remington this week had their stake bred program yesterday. Obviously, Maryland Millions. We talked to Acacia Courtney yesterday. Maryland Millions, really the first of these kind of state bred. I'm not sure how long Maryland Millions has been in existence, but it's been a while. Jim McKay was one of the founders from ABC. But since then, a lot of other jurisdictions have added events like that. And in New York yesterday, it was Empire Showcase Day. They have a few of them. And they're always fun days because they do have a few of these days during the year. They have a couple of them up in Saratoga. Yeah. And you see some gritty old performers kind of square off again and again. And yesterday, Mr. Buff looked pretty good, and we'll take a look at some of those stretch runs. But it was a nice day, as I say, at various venues around the country, across the world. Either we'll look at various Champions Day too a little bit.
I think that's what makes the Maryland Millions such a special day, because it's once a year, as you said, New York. I know the big New York day that I think of is the day before the Travers, their New York show day, and then obviously yesterday was a big day for the New York for the New York breds as well. So but I think that's what makes the Maryland Millions such a big day down at Laurel, and it was a really competitive card, and you got some prices across the line first
yesterday. Also, Far Hills steeplechase meet. We talked with Sean Clancy a little bit about that yesterday, and we talked with Sean about Wicklow Brave, who looked good in the Grand National coming to the last fence and then had a little slip up over the last fence and fell. On air yesterday during OTB Live, I said I thought he was okay. I thought I saw him get up and run, but subsequently the news last night was that he was euthanized, so that's an unfortunate outcome there. For what was a fun day of racing down at Far Hills, you could see the crowd, a great day. And there was a lot of competitive events, but that took a little sting out of the day, or put a little sting into the day, perhaps. But, as I mentioned earlier, we also yesterday showed British Champions Day, and I said we'd watch some action from there. Going to pull up the highlight of the day, the Champion Stakes. Group 1 event, 1.7 plus million dollars up for grabs, and the favorite was Magical, of course, having run second in last year's Breeders' Cup Turf behind Enable, and Magical will take the lead here. And Edeb, if I'm pronouncing that anywhere near correctly, a horse I thought was going to be interesting, looks like in the yellow, looks like, oh, maybe has a little momentum and will go by Magical. But just about the time you think that, Magical digs down and really then kind of even pulls away a little bit at the end to get it done against the boys. It was kind of interesting. You know, the female against the boys, but in yesterday's field, there was 9 horses in there. 5 of them were either fillies or mares, and one of them won Magical. Ed Aeb runs second in there. Deidre runs third. And I pulled up, the timing was interesting, particularly compared to what we get here in North America. And I don't think this is typical necessarily over there. I think this was a little special for her the past couple of seasons. But in the 21st century, what we think of timing between races. Last year, Magical came out of the Arc and also ran in the Arc, came back a couple weeks later and won the Champion Stakes Filly and Mayor race, and then went on to run second in the Breeders' Cup, faced the boys in the Breeders' Cup turf and beat all the boys. Unfortunately, Enable was in there, so ran second to Enable. So this year, Magical, again, and also ran in the Arc. 2 weeks later, comes back and beats the boys in the British Champions. And I was curious what their game plan would be, given what they did last year. There was a quote, I think this came out of the Racing Post, quote from her connections: "What can you say about her? She's the ultimate racehorse. That is what she is. She's incredible. It looks like she is still progressing, which is amazing. We would love to keep her in training, but the lads will make a decision. They have to decide whether they want to go to the Breeders' Cup or not, and that would be the next one if they decide they want to go. If she goes to the Breeders' Cup, she would go to the Filly and Mayor turf." So that's interesting. They would take a little bit of a different tack this year to face the Fillies and Mayors. But given that Enable was announced after the Arc, still in training next year. They're going to try for another Arc next year, but not going to head to the Breeders' Cup. And given that she's bypassing the Breeders' Cup, Magical would certainly add a nice European flavor if they decided to go.
Right, and I think that would make the race that much better, especially with Sister Charlie in there. So, I mean, that would be a great matchup. Sister Charlie's won 6 grade ones in a row, not even grade one stakes in a row, defending champion of that race. I think that, you know, all the Sister Charlie fans kind of hoping that she'd go. You're going to get a better price on Sister Charlie there. So it would be a great matchup if she came over. Well, the field's great as well, but that one-on-one matchup would probably be highlighted with Sister Charlie.
And again, given what we saw that they did last year and how well she ran in the Breeders' Cup turf, you'd have to think they would tilt towards that. But with the timing, you know, so close.
It's coming quick,
In the 21st century, I'm sure they'll take a close look at it. And it's one of those where see how the horse came out of the race, et cetera. But it'll be fun if Magical does decide to come over and try the Breeders' Cup again. All right, let's go back to Empire Showcase Day at Belmont yesterday, and we'll kind of work our way backwards chronologically. And that means we'll start at the stakes end of the program, the Empire Distaff Handicap, a mile for the ladies. The favorite was newly minted, the one horse at 6-5, winds up running fourth in here. And Radzikowski, the number 10 horse, the second choice at 9-5, does get it done with a couple of prices underneath. Our Supernova at 20-1, Held Accountable at 28-1, complete the trifecta, running second and third. But again, it's the second choice under Jose Ortiz, Brian Lynch trainee, Radzikowski gets it done. I like that horse. I put that one on top. I put Newly Minted for Linda Rice in the second spot. Newly Minted was 4-5 coming into this race, so a little bit disappointing running fourth. And, you know, given the separation between second and third, there was only a nose from third to fourth. But again, the separation from second to third, Newly Minted, a little bit disappointing. But Radzikowski gets it done, holds on there by a chart margin of a head.
Yeah, I mean, just watching that replay, our Supernova ran an unbelievable race and almost ran by there with Junior Alvarado. But on paper, it kind of looked like it was Newly Minted's race to lose. But watching the last race on September 11th that Radzikowski ran, it was up for debate who would take the favoritism, and ultimately the Linda Rice trainee did. But as you said, a little disappointing there, but I thought the stretch run was very good by both those horses. But our Supernova ran a great race coming out of a win from Belmont, and then Jose Ortiz just had enough to get to the wire as the second choice at 9-5.
Yeah, Radzikowski, you would think
when the year-end honors come along for the New York Reds, she'll certainly be considered. This is her only stakes win, but it was a pretty good one to put on the resume at the end of the year versus the state Reds, but that makes her 4-for-6 for the year. We'll see. Again, and I'm one of the voters for those New York Red honors. Typically, when I look, you're looking for a number of stakes wins. You're looking for the potential to have faced open company as well. So we'll see how it shakes out. But that was a nice win for that one. A lightly raced five-year-old as well. As I say, 4 wins and 6 starts as a five-year-old. And they didn't really get started. They didn't get started until earlier this year in May. So put together a pretty nice campaign this year and capped it off in the Empire Distaff on Saturday. All right, let's take a look at the Ticonderoga. This is Phillies and Mayors on the turf at 1 1/8. And, you know, there was a big favorite in here if you were playing some of the picks. I'm sure a lot of people singled 55. I had 55 on top, you know, just mastered the obvious. I thought War Canoe was a potential upsetter if you wanted to play around. 55 is the number 4 horse. War Canoe is the number 3 horse. That one will run third. And 26-1, the second longest price on the board, kind of gives 55 a little tussle there. Wish Upon, the number 1 horse. But in the end, 55 proves to be best at a 35 cent to the dollar price. But with the 26-1 shot underneath, you got $29 for your $2 exacta. If you like that one, would have been a tough call for me. I thought there were some others in there that were a little more interesting, given previous races where some of these horses have faced off. But 55 was logical. 55 got it done.
Yeah, I mean, it was going to be tough to be 55 in there. And Wish Upon, on paper, was probably the only speed in there. So
yeah,
if you wanted to, you know, that kind of could have been logical there in a short field. The only speed with Louis Saez, who's been riding great this entire year and at the fall meet, especially on the front end. But, you know, it was just a little too much to kind of hold off 55 there. I thought Kid Is Frosty would run a better race, but I thought that was a little bit disappointing. And, you know, it wasn't a great race at all. Just watching a replay, nothing went right for Kid Is Frosty and Irad Ortiz. But 55 was just proved to be 1-5 in there, and kind of looked like it running by Wish Upon, who actually ran well, 48.5, and kind of had to make 55 earn it late in that stretch run. But short field on the lead, I could see why some people would use Wish Upon, but you know, that wasn't a great race that Wish Upon came out of the last start.
Chad Brown, Peter Brandt, now 11 wins and 22 starts for 55, and I'm just looking. Yeah, put 55 over $1 million in earnings. So nice little New York bread for that team. Let's move on to race number 8. I had Jeremiah Engelhardt on Racing Across America yesterday. We talked about the 4 horses he had in 3 stakes races, and this was the one where he overlapped. When I'm, you know, talking to him yesterday, it seemed like clearly he preferred Cleon Jones a little bit more, in that Captain Bombastic was taking a step up. So it was a little bit of a roll of the dice, I suppose. But boy, what a nice afternoon for Jeremiah. And we'll show the other race that he captured a little bit later. But in the Sleepy Hollow, 2-year-old New York Breds, Cleon Jones, the number 5, comes out of the win in the Bond Guard. I had that one on top. I had Captain Bombastic down at the bottom of my mix just because it was a big ask coming out of a maiden special weight debut win, but Captain Bombastic, the number 4 horse. And it looks here like Cleon Jones is going to go right on by. But, man, how determined is Captain Bombastic? Will not let the stablemate go by. They run 1-2 for Jeremiah Engelhardt, and running third in there was Harris Bay. City Man, the favorite at 9-5. And I was a little, not shocked, I was a little surprised. Morning line, City Man did have the edge over Cleon Jones. I thought the betting public may tilt for Cleon Jones, though, given what happened in the Bond Guard. But City Man did take the favoritism, went off at 9-5, winds up 4th in there. But as I say, what a nice performance by Captain Bombastic. Only 2 starts so far in the career and a couple of wins. Now with a nice stakes win, and $250,000 up for grabs yesterday. So again, a nice performance also for Jeremiah Engelhardt, running 1-2 in the race.
Yeah, that's always good for the barn if you run 1-2. But as you said, that was a really, really nice game effort there, especially for facing winners for the first time. But Cleon Jones, I remember at Saratoga, broke the maiden, and you know, I know all the Mets fans know the story of Cleon Jones, and then won the next time out. So I thought Cleon Jones was going to run by, and as you said, I thought 3.5-1 was an absolute gift on this horse, especially how good this horse looked up at Saratoga, and then faced winners for the first time and got the job done. But the barn for Jeremiah had, especially for the two-year-olds, he's been on fire, and he's been bringing prices home all year with the two-year-olds. So it doesn't surprise me he ran 1-2. I thought it would have been reversed with Cleon Jones on top.
Yeah, mid-stretch, he would have taken that bet as I thought Cleon Jones was going to go right by, but that flatters Captain Bombastic that the horse was that game. Harris Bay, and you know, that City Man took some money, helped the price on Cleon Jones, but also Harris Bay went off as the second choice. That helped the price on Cleon Jones. Harris Bay, maiden debut winner for John Kimmel with a pretty good buyer number. But again, it's always tough to move maiden special weight into stakes company. You know, these days, a lot of these two-year-old stakes, even this time of the year, they're not much more, when you look at the records, than non-winners of two other than. But Cleon Jones had some experience. City Man had some experience. So that they tilted towards Harris Bay for the second choice. That just helped the price for Cleon Jones. We also should mention that not only was it a Jeremiah Engelhart exacta, it was an Ortiz exacta. Jose on board Captain Bombastic, and Irod on board Cleon Jones. And the exacta, what, for...
$26
$26 for one, so $52.50 for a couple of bucks. So nice little exacta there with the Ortiz brothers and Jeremiah Engelhart. All right, let's take a look at the Iroquois. Another horse. I had a decent day with the winners on top. If you picked up the one sheet, this one offered a little bit of value at 7-2. Pause for the cause. I thought this horse from Chester and Mary Broman and Kieran McLaughlin looked pretty good coming off of the win last time. Sat out much of the summer. Had a start early in the Saratoga meet on the turf and then sat out until mid-September at Belmont. Pause for the cause, the number three horse you can see here, winning the eventual chart margin 3.5. Fair Regis runs second by 3 lengths. Holiday Disguise runs third. But under, again, Jose Ortiz, who had a nice day yesterday, gets it done at a $9.20 price, looking pretty good in there. And, you know, what was the field? Carrera Cat was a horse that a couple back won the Union Avenue facing State Breds up at Saratoga. Tried open company last time and ran behind Come Dancing. So Carrera Cat getting back in against State Breds certainly had some potential. Satisfy went off as the favorite for Bill Mott. Winds up a disappointing seventh in the field of eighth. I guess at 5-2, kind of a lukewarm favorite. As I say, I like Pause for the Cause better. Put that one on top. So I was a little surprised maybe that Satisfy went off. But at 5-2, I guess even the betting public didn't have a whole lot of confidence in anybody in any one direction. But Satisfy had one start so far this year, and it was clearly not as good as what we saw last year. And you never want to make a decision based on one race. But, boy, I was willing to take at least a little bit of a wait and see, given what we saw in the first start. And so far, two starts into this five-year-old season for Satisfy, have been two kind of disappointing performances as compared to what the horse was last year. But Pause for a Cause certainly looking good, again, for Kieran, Chester and Mary Broman, and Jose Ortiz.
Yeah, another Ortiz exacta, $23 for a dollar there, and these state bred races are always tricky, but when you get a favorite that's almost 3-1, that just makes it that much better. But Pause for the Cause coming out off a win, Fair Regis also coming off a win earlier in September, and that, the wide trip from Fair Regis, you weren't going to catch Pause for the Cause, but I thought Fair Regis ran a very, very good race there. But it was just more impressive how the Kieran McLaughlin runner ran for Pause for the Cause. So if Fair Regis was a little bit tighter on the turns, both turns, I thought it would have been closer, but I don't think you would have caught Pause for the Cause, who, you know, as you said, went off 7-2. And I thought it was very fair, almost $10 for Kieran and Jose Ortiz.
Let's move a little earlier. The Hudson, this one for three-year-olds and up, going 6.5 furlongs. I have to admit, I had a good day with Winners on Top, but whiffed here. I like Celtic Chaos, who at 9-2 runs last in the field of 8. Celtic Chaos, the number 3 horse. Right underneath, though, I did have Build to Suit. Chad Brown, Klarovich, the number 1 horse. That one will get it done. I Love Lulu runs 2nd for Jason Service and Michael Dubb, and running 3rd. T loves a fight for our man Orlando Noda. Always rooting for T loves a fight, but no better than 3rd in here, as looking pretty good was Build to Suit. Got the momentum going and kind of went by him all. The chart margin there, 2.5. And that one did go off as the favorite, paid $4.70 and ran like it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought T Loves a Fight ran a really good race because the horse ran 9 days ago.
Yeah.
And they entered the horse in the state bred. Why not take a shot? If I remember correctly, T Loves a Fight ran in the state bred stakes at Saratoga and actually ran a nice race there as well. I thought that it was going to be tough to beat Build the Suit, but I thought I Love Lulu going off at 6-1, almost 7-1. I thought that was, you know, that was a little bit of a gift as well. You got $30 back for a $2 exacta, but this was, I thought, besides 55, probably the most logical favorite that you could use in this whole state bred sequence on the day at Belmont. But especially with T Loves a Fight coming back after 8 days. And then I Love Lulu's a horse that has a little bit of hot and cold theory, a horse that obviously runs better against state breds and ran well yesterday for Jason Service. But nonetheless, I thought it was going to be tough for anyone to beat the eventual winner there, Build to Suit.
And that's the way it proved in the stretch. All right, let's go to what, again, was the highlight of the day. I said this yesterday. Purse and Prestige, the Empire Classic, $300,000, a mile and an eighth. With a field of 5, they put it towards the middle of the card here. But had talked to Jeremiah Engelhart yesterday. He had Pat on the back. That one coming out of the Grade 2 Kelso against Open Company, won that with a nice triple-digit buyer. But you could tell when we talked to Jeremiah, he had a lot of respect for Mr. Buff. On the turn, Pat on the back was right there, the number 3 horse. But Mr. Buff kind of gets the jump and spurts away a little bit. And you can see Pat on the back grinding, grinding, grinding. And then just can't get there and eventually gets passed by a nice runner-up, Dynamax Prime, who for a moment looks like, maybe this horse will make a run, but not Mr. Buff not giving it up in the end here. Mr. Buff for Chester and Mary Broman. Again, a nice New York bred, one of these that shows up in all these kind of races. Last time out had tried Grade 1 Company in the Woodward, and why not? It's a horse with a lot of early speed. Maybe you'll steal a race like that or get at least some nice black tight potentially running in the money. And after showing some early speed, they wound up running 7th in there, but I don't blame them for taking the shot at all. They beat Open Company in January of this year in the Jazzle down at Aqueduct. So, you know, why not try a step up with a horse that clearly has some talent and came out of a couple of nice stakes wins, state bred stakes wins leading into the Woodward. Now getting back to state bred company, looked really good on Saturday. And Junior Alvarado, I think it was a Dave Grenig article, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but after the race he said something like, if Mr. Buff is on the rail, he is a monster. And he had the rail trip, rode it into the lane, and spurted away. And as I said, then they had too much to ask the rest of the field to catch him. So nice performance in the Empire Classic for Mr. Buff.
And what makes it even more impressive was what you saw at the top of the stretch there, but Mr. Buff stumbled out of the gate and did not have a clean break at all and kind of had to work extra hard to get to that
lead.
And
his game plan is speed for the most part.
Exactly. So I mean, he had to work hard to get to the lead, and the speed was good yesterday. And you know, you saw that yesterday. So I thought it was just even more impressive that he was able to hang on and kind of get to the wire, even though the two Dynamax Prime was flying late there. I thought it was just an impressive win because the start was so bad for Mr. Buff, and he got the job done as the second choice. But Pat in the back was a deserving favorite coming out a couple greatest stakes races for Jeremiah. I look forward to seeing how this one runs or where they place Pat in the back the next time out. But definitely a horse that could run better than what we saw yesterday.
All right, let's go back to the Mohawk. These are three-year-olds and up, going a mile and a 16th. And again, this was another of the few whiffs for me on the card. I think I had 6 winners on top and 11 races. And Cleon Jones would have been 7, so I got snudged there. But I liked Offering Plan, number 4 horse here from Chad Brown. That one winds up 4th in a field of 5. I was not convinced on Gucci Factor, the number 6, but boy, this is a nice stretch run, just a lot of guts. With Voodoo Song, they both showed a lot of guts, and it comes right down to the wire, bam, Gucci Factor gets it. The last race, and there was trouble in the last race, and the betting public was on board, making this a 9-5 close-up second choice to Voodoo Song, who was 6-5 in there, 7-5. And so the betting public was more on it than I was. Again, that last race with the trouble, even after the trouble, I thought, yeah, the horse didn't necessarily engage after the trouble. It was just a bad read, though. That last one was one of those with the trouble, draw a line through, go to the races before, and that's closer what we got to yesterday for Gucci Factor. But again, it was a nice stretch run by both of them. And again, I'll tout Voodoo Song, who in the first 2 starts of this season, you kind of had the feeling as a 5-year-old, maybe Voodoo Song wasn't the Voodoo Song of the past, but in the past couple of starts has been far gutsier and just unlucky to lose a head bob at the wire yesterday. Gucci Factor over Voodoo Song.
I mean, that was a great race, as you said. And Gucci Factor, I believe on the morning line, was 7-2, got bet down to the shorter second choice, paid $5 and change to win. But I was thinking the same thing. Voodoo Song, just the 2 starts at Saratoga were not flattering at all, and then the horse came back and ran a pretty good race the next time out, and you would think a deserving favorite, especially facing State Breds on the lead here, short field, in a horse that we know is gutsy. We've seen it up at Saratoga, but Gucci Factor, nice closing kick there for Christophe Clement and Joel Rosario to run by Voodoo Song. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Voodoo Song. Just has not looked the same since the 4 wins we saw
number-wise,
last summer.
Certainly not putting up the same kind of numbers.
No, definitely not. So it's going to be interesting to see where Linda wants to send Voodoo Song.
All right, and finally, let's go back and take a look at the Maid of the Mist, 2-year-old fillies, again, New York breds. They were all New York breds yesterday at Belmont. Had Jeremiah on yesterday, and we were talking about critical value. A couple of starts up at Saratoga. Start 1 was a close-up second-place finish. Start 2, a nice win in the maiden breaker. 6.5 furlongs in the debut, 6 in the follow-up, stretching to a mile. I like critical value. Number 3 horse gets it done here, and gets it done pretty convincingly. Naked Avenger was the favorite, and deservedly so, off a stakes win with a pretty good-looking buyer in the last start. But I thought maybe there was some upside for critical value. And boy, again, wins by a chart margin of 5.5. Naked Avenger, you'll see, gets up here. Good late run to get second by a neck over Good Credence. But as the second choice, Critical Value pays $7.30 and started out what was a pretty good day for Jeremiah Englehart, certainly as far as the 2-year-old stakes yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to repeat myself from 12 minutes ago, but his 2-year-olds have been running unbelievable.
We were down for Belmont Stakes weekend, and he had 1 win for Al Gold down there. And I started to kind of jump on it, and as we came into the Saratoga meet, I said, watch Jeremiah with the 2-year-olds at Saratoga. And it's, ever since that Belmont Stakes weekend, he and his 2-year-olds have been doing great.
I mean, his barn's been red hot, and especially with the 2-year-olds. And as you said, at Saratoga, they were running unbelievable. And they were at prices to deep 2-year-old fields at Saratoga. And Jeremiah's horses, you were getting 6-1, 7-1 pretty consistently up there. So, and, you know, you got the second choice here today. That's 2-year-old stakes wins yesterday for Jeremiah. So,
yeah.
I mean, the barn itself has been red hot all year, but especially the 2-year-olds, they've been very impressive.
Yeah, a couple of $250,000 stakes, a win and an exacta finish in the 2-year-old races yesterday at Belmont. So, again, it was a fun day. New York Reds, always like to take a little review of those, because certainly these horses will be facing off again when we have these New York kind of days, but they'll be mixing in with this kind of talent against open company over the next few months as well. So keep your eyes on those. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. A little bit later on, Frank Vespi from theracingbiz.com will do a similar recap of some of the Maryland Million Stakes with Frank. But before that, we'll take a break, come back, and do a little handicapping for this afternoon. Stay tuned. Racing Across America continues.
Place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat screen TVs, tournament style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
As an owner, I love the Breeders' Cup winning your end series.
To win one of these challenge series is a way that we kind of map out our schedule throughout the year with our horses.
If you win one of the challenge races, you have a very good horse.
The King George, which is our winning ring race, provides the top middle distance horsing in Europe. We saw Highland Reel running both races.
We know when we show up at the Breeders' Cup, we've got the world to beat, not just everybody in the United States. Breeders' Cup Challenge, win, and you're in.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Seth Merrow and Sully Crotty. We'll take a little handicapping look at this afternoon, starting with Woodbine, the Bunty Lawless Stakes. And during the break, I had never heard of Bunty Lawless, so I looked it up on Equibase. Bunty Lawless, a Canadian runner in the late 30s and early 40s, 47 lifetime starts, 19 wins, 15 seconds. So a talented runner that deserves, I guess, a $100,000 stake named after him. But the Bunny Lawless, $100,000 up for grabs, three-year-olds and up, going a mile at Woodbine.
Yeah, there's a big favorite in here with Silent Poet. And Silent Poet is, we remember Silent Poet from the Woodbine Mile. We talked to trainer Nicholas Gonzalez before the race. So Silent Poet looks to be a little tough to beat in here, especially on the front end. Winner of two of the last three entering that Woodbine Mile. So, I mean, I don't want to be the master of the obvious or anything in this spot, but I just think it's going to be a little tough to beat Silent Poet on the front end in here. The one is Red Cabernet. Ian Black sending this one out with Eureka Rosa da Silva. I thought the last couple were very good. Those were in restricted stakes races. We're staying right in that class here at Woodbine. They're going to try the turf here for the first time since a win by a neck from off the pace at a nice 4-1 price. You're getting 8-1 for a horse that likes to sit from off the pace. The pace is going to be honest enough here going a mile, especially with the 5, who's going to be a big price, and then Silent Poet. So I'll use the 8-1 underneath. And then the 4 is Split My Pants. I think it's the only closer in here on paper that if you're a trifecta player, superfecta player, 15-1 in Patrick Husbands with Catherine Day Phillips, I think is very, very fair. Coming out of two pretty nice optional claimers up at Woodbine, showed good closing effort. I like that they're taking a shot in this spot here. But in the Bunty Lawless this afternoon at Woodbine, 7-1, 4-8. Seth's going to take a look at the second race this afternoon at Belmont Park, which is a maiden special weight for two-year-olds sprinting 6 furlongs on the grass.
And I just looked up. I haven't seen anything indicating turf or no turf. I would assume they're on the turf today. I don't think they had any weather yesterday down in New York to speak of. So I have this one, 9, 10, 4, and 6. Going to take a little shot with Gunman, first time out by Warfront. Warfront, okay. With first-time starters, 28 first-time starters so far this year. 7 of them have hit the exacta, so 1 out of every 4. Good numbers there. Todd Pletcher, I said it towards the end of the Saratoga meet. He really seemed to pick up some nice steam, having a pretty good Belmont meet as well. So John Velasquez back in town for the ride. We'll put Gunman on top. Second slot, we'll go 1
further out, Imperial Moment, second time starter from Bill Mott with a little bit of breeding, and a debut that looks like a good foundation, good experience, one to build on, and Turn Aside, another horse with a little experience. Linda Rice Trainee has had two starts so far, nice improvement, start one to start two. That certainly has the potential to continue this afternoon. Race number two at Belmont, 9, 10, 4, and 6. All right, we're going to take now a look at the feature race at Belmont on Sunday. We'll both take a look at the Athenia Grade 3 event, couple $100,000 up for grabs for the fillies and mares going a mile and a 16th. Sully, what you see in the Athenia?
I went 9-3-4-1. Zenobia on top for Jonathan Thomas. I just thought the first two starts here in North America were very, very good. Lost by half a length to Scottish Jig, who is a stakes winner and a stakes runner-up at Belmont, but has won several stakes races overseas before coming here into a stakes-like optional claimer at Belmont and got the job done. And then that was coming out of a third place effort in the stakes race. So I'll take the 5-1, a horse that's going to be forwardly placed in here, going a mile and a 16th. And again, I like Jonathan Thomas on the turf, having a very nice Belmont meet at 27%. The 3 is Sweet Buy and Buy for Steve Glaceris and Jose Ortiz. I think this horse is going to play a little catch me if you can on the front end. We saw how impressive this horse was last time out running a 91 buyer, but earlier in the career, four starts back actually, lost by a neck to Oleksandr, who since that race has won several stakes races, was competitive at Keeneland during their fall meet this year. The horse likes the distance and the turf course. I'll use Sweet Buy and Buy in the second spot. And then the 4 is Anita Del Sor. Tom Albatrani sending this one out, coming off a win in a stakes race last time out, where the horse had a lot go its way at Monmouth, but nonetheless, very, very nice closing effort. Also raced against a little bit better in here with Homerique, Valedictorian, I'm So Fancy, and Dolce Lily. So I'll use I think 4.5-1 is very fair for the Albatrani runner coming out of a really nice effort at Monmouth. But for me, in the graded stakes action at Belmont this afternoon, 9-3-4-1.
Interesting. I have the same 4, just switched up, but my top and my fourth pick are completely switched up. I have it 1-3-4-9. I put Simply Breathless on top. The two wins that this horse got on the move to the United States, Golden Gate and Santa Anita, looked pretty good. Subsequently moved to Arlington, decent third in the Modesty, and last time out, a decent third down at Kentucky Downs in a mile stakes race. Neil Drysdale electing to bring this one here, has been training at Keeneland most recently. I just thought the horse might be a good fit in here, and Joel Rosario on board. But I do agree, Sweet Buy and Buy is the horse that may be very interesting with the pace scenario. This one you would have to think is going to go out, and as you say, play a little catch me if you can, and might be tough to reel in. I mean, gets a cozy 3 post position, should be well spotted as they come around that first part turn and into the back stretch. And Sweet Buy and Buy, very, very interesting. And Andina Del Sur in the third spot, nice improving numbers over the past few starts. So for me, in the Athenia, I have it 1-3-4-9. All right, let's move on to a feature at Keeneland today. It's the Dowager Grade 3 event for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up. They'll go a mile and a half on the grass.
I went 9-3-10 in here. 9-3-10-4. The number 9 is Pants on Fire. I've been waiting for this horse to stretch out to go that 3 turns again. Went a mile and 3/8 and a mile and a quarter the last couple. Actually ran very well 2 starts back. From off the pace to finish 3rd, I thought was very good. I remember the Pants on Fire that comes from way off the pace. And I'm hoping that's what Brian Hernandez and Richard Baltus do here today. I think the longer the better for Pants on Fire. Has ran well at the mile and a half. And the Baltus runners have already done well on some route races during this meet. I'll take the 6-1 in Brian Hernandez in here. Again, from that mile and a quarter, 2 back to this mile and a half this afternoon. The number 3 is Gentle Ruler. It's going to be the lukewarm favorite in here. This horse wants nothing to do with the pace and is going to be flying home. And we saw that at Kentucky Downs in the Ramsey Farm Stakes last time out. Before that race, I thought the 4th place effort in the way it was very good. And then a horse that's won 5 of the last 6. So, deserving favorite for Ian Wilkes in here. Horse is going to be flying late. We'll see where Chris Landeros places this horse. And then the number 10, In the third spot is Alicia's World, another Richard Baltus runner, going to be more forwardly placed than Pants on Fire, but I thought the effort against Vasilica in the Maccabi last two starts back was very good, and then the second place effort, or excuse me, the fifth by two behind Bo Recall three starts back was very good. But in the eighth race this afternoon at Keeneland, 9-3, 10-4.
I went 3-10, 2-12. I just looked at this field, and these are not win machines by any means. Alicia's World, I kind of was tilting in that direction, but one win in six starts, and that was back in March at Santa Anita. On the other hand, Gentle Ruler, 5-6 so far this year. So I was just going with the horse that maybe has a little more of a nose for the finish line. So Gentle Ruler on top, Alicia's World. Started life out in the barn of Chad Brown, but subsequently went to Southern California and moved into the Richard Baltus barn. And I have Alicia's World and La Muna in second and third. 4-1 for Alicia's World, 5-1 for La Muna. So that would be the other half of the uncoupled entry, except, as Sully noted, Pants on Fire, the really other half of the triple uncoupled entry as the 6-1 morning line price. So maybe Pants on Fire is a little bit interesting on that angle. You don't often see three uncoupled horses where you get a choice of looking at the longer price of the trio. But Pants on Fire, I didn't put that one in my mix, but I have the other two Baltus runners, so we'll see. Maybe that means good things for Pants on Fire that I left that Baltus runner out. But for me, at Keeneland in the Dowager, 3-10, 2-12. All right, we will step back, take a break. As noted earlier, going to be joined in a couple of minutes by Frank Vespi from the Racing Biz. Talk a little Maryland Millions, all of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Here's some exciting news from Capital OTB. Capital Off-Track Betting and the Rivers Casino have partnered to bring you the finest experience in wagering on all your favorite thoroughbred and harness tracks from right inside the casino. Our newest location is open daily and can be found at Vance Flicks Bar, offering live tellers, self-serve betting terminals, racing information kiosks, and all the amenities you've come to expect from Capital OTB. See you at the Rivers Casino in Schenectady.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by Frank Vespi, our friend from theracingbiz.com. No better place to keep up with racing in the Mid-Atlantic region. And certainly there was a focus on that region yesterday at Laurel with the Maryland Millions. Frank, good morning.
Morning, guys. Good to be with you today.
And before we get into the racing specifically, just give us an overview. Always like to touch on the day. And I'm guessing weather-wise nice, and so a nice crowd down at Laurel.
Oh, it was a great crowd at Laurel. It really was a nice crowd. The weather was, you know, if somebody draws up sort of what the ideal fall day looks like, it was pretty much yesterday in Maryland. It was just gorgeous. And apparently we've used up our good weather allotment because it's gray and raining here today. But yesterday was just perfect. Nice crowd. People really had a good time.
And we talked to Acacia Courtney yesterday in a little preview, and I got to give her a tip of the cap. She gave out a couple of winners on the show, including the Maryland Millions Classic. Let's start out with that. And first, she mentioned it yesterday, and I'll mention it again. If folks were looking at this, and boy, you looked out at the also eligibles, and you saw, man, if those horses made it in, they were the best horses. How does Cordmaker be on the outside looking in? But we mentioned it yesterday. Preferences for Maryland sires versus Maryland breds on this day.
Correct. It really is a day about Maryland sires. So Maryland, and the rule is if there are 8 Maryland sired horses, the race closes to non-Maryland sired. If it goes below 8, then other horses can draw in, then Maryland breds can draw in, which actually happened in the ladies earlier on the card where there were 8, 1 came out, that let Zonda in, and Zonda won the race. So, but that's how that works, and that's how, I mean, Cordmaker would have been an overwhelming favorite and probably would have won for fun.
Yeah, he definitely looked best in there, but it was Forest Fire, the number 7 horse. We will watch the stretch run. As I said, hats off to Acacia Courtney. She tilted in that direction. A couple of wins coming into this race over at Parks, but at 3-1, I'm just looking, second choice. Clubman was the 5-2 favorite. That one, a disappointing 7th in the field of 11. But Forest Fire, the number 7, gets it done. Chart margin, half a length. Prendimi runs 2nd at 11-1, and Tappan Cat 3rd at 6-1. But a nice gutsy win here by Forest Fire in the Maryland Millions Classic.
Yeah, it was, you know, I honestly, I thought by my own handicapping and also talking with a couple of the trainers in this race, really thought there was going to be some pace in here. And I thought it might do well for a horse like Torch of Truth, although he was hung out outside throughout. But there was no pace at all. Prendimi went, Forest Fire went. They went slow early. It was 49 and change for the half, 13 and 2 for three quarters. And those two ran 1-2 all the way around the track. Forest Fire kind of guts it out in the lane to get up by a half length. And nobody running out of the back really made much impact. It was not the race I expected it to be, but I guess that's why they run them. And obviously a nice win for Forest Fire. John Service, the trainer, Paco Lopez. Paco pretty much said, yeah, John just said kind of see what happens and take it from there. And they really got kind of the ideal trip, pressing the pace just to the outside of Prendimi. Turns out to be the 2nd Maryland Million win for Forest Fire sire, who's Freezing Fire. And oddly enough, both of them have come in the Classic.
And as you say, Clubman, you look down at his PPs, his game plan is probably to come from back, and given the pace yesterday, as I say, he was a little bit of a disappointing 7th, but was just up against it pace-wise.
No, I think that's right. I'm not sure, honestly. I was a little surprised he went off favored. He's really good going maybe 6.5 to maybe a mile and 16th. I kind of feel like a mile and 8th is maybe just a bit of a stretch for him, so, you know, he kind of flattened out a little bit late, I think. And the horses that ran 1-2-3 last year, Saratoga Bob, Clubman, and Do That Dance, were 6th, 7th, and 10th this year. So not a great year for the horses coming back from last year's event.
Let's move on to the Maryland Million Sprint Handicap. And there were some legitimate open company sprint types in here. Call Paul for Jason Service, Michael Dubb and company has certainly impressed in various venues. Lewis Field is always a player, Lakai. But again, I'll tip my cap to Acacia Courtney. Yesterday she liked Taco Supreme, and Taco Supreme 10-1 on the morning line, but did take some action, went off at 5-1, gets it done here by 3/4 of a length. Call Paul, the number 7, 2nd. Lewis Field runs 3rd. Lakai maybe a little bit of a disappointment, running 5th in the field of 7, but a nice win under Sheldon Russell for Taco Supreme.
You guys see it all the time in New York. We see it all the time in Maryland. A lot of times these state-restricted races are, you know, just okay. You're giving away a lot of money to just a horse. But this race, this version of the Maryland Million Sprint, this would have looked perfectly good as an open stake anywhere in America.
Yeah.
You had Call Paul, a multiple graded winner. Lewis Field, a multiple stakes winner. Lakai, a multiple stakes winner who's graded stakes place. And those are 3 legitimate racehorses right there. And Taco Supreme ran past them all late to get up by three quarters of a length under Sheldon Russell, one of his two stake wins on the day. It was a pretty neat moment there. You know, the ownership group is Big Bertha Stable, and they claimed this horse for $25,000. I was talking to Damon Dilla DeVico, who's the trainer, after the race, and I said, "What made you claim this horse?" And he said, "You know, when I saw him, he just looked like this kind of big, gawky, gangly, like the pieces didn't all fit together." And he said, I really like claiming horses like that because he looked like he was going to grow into a different horse. And that's really what's happened. And he said, you know, this is a horse that his attention wanders. He doesn't always kind of focus on what he needs to do. But he said, coming into this race, he was just laser focused and really training well. And he really thought he would run well. And he closed a lot of ground in the last eighth of a mile or so here.
Yeah, he's a nice horse. He was six times in the exacta in six starts before yesterday. Seven wins overall in 19 starts so far in the career. So they have a nice one there. But as you say, that was a really nice addition to the race with some legitimate stakes quality sprinters in there. And he goes by them all for the three-quarter of a length victory. All right, let's go to the race that maybe threw a monkey wrench into people's pick plays yesterday. Certainly, if you had something in here, you wound up getting paid. But the Maryland Millions Turf, we're going to watch the stretch run here. It will be number five, Mr. D'Angelo, getting it done at 17-1. Some Kind of Magician, 32-1. The 13 runs second. Number 14, Pretty Good Year, runs third at 21-1. The old 5-13-14 trifecta, 50 cents, paid $2,100 plus. As I say, a little hard to call or predict the Maryland Millions Turf.
Yeah, I think the horses I had in the Maryland Million Turf were probably still out there somewhere. They certainly weren't any of those horses. Now, this was a, you know, it's funny, talking about the Maryland Million Sprint was such a good race with some really good horses. This race, on the other hand, was like wide open.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly looked at this as like pretty much anybody could win this race. Nobody had much of a resume here. And part of the reason for that is the two best Maryland-sired turf horses of the last 5 years have been Flash Phelps and Talk Show Man. They ran 1-2 last year. They had won four of the last five editions of it. They both retired earlier this year, and that kind of just threw this division into disarray. And Mr. D'Angelo got a pretty nice trip there from Hevion Toledo, who was up, kind of kept him, managed to steer him through a bit of traffic, keep him going all the way. And that was kind of what trainer Tim Woolley had said after the race. He said, yeah, we just needed a trip for this horse. He's been kind of right there. He's run some good races, but it's always been something. And yesterday they got the trip they wanted, got up to win kind of going away. A pretty good effort. That horse, he looks like he might just be a horse who's starting to get good right now.
Yeah, it's kind of a blast for the past there. Trainer Tim Woolley.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been around for a number of years, won some races over the years, and back in the winner's circle yesterday, a homebred for Kevin Morgan, who he was kind of funny afterward. He said, you know, I don't have a lot of experience training or breeding horses. I bred, this is a horse by Seville out of a Housebuster mare, and he said, so I bred long on the turf to short on the dirt, and everybody who knew anything told me I was crazy, but here we are. So sometimes you do the wrong thing and it works out. So it was kind of fun to see.
Yeah, the breeding game, I am not as into it as those kind of stories make me kind of long to be, because I think the breeding game is kind of a whole other interesting puzzle, like the handicapping game is. And finding out those kind of stories makes me, as I say, a little more curious about it. All right, let's go on to the Maryland Millions Lassie. I love the two-year-old races on this card because you can look and think, next year do we have some horses maybe to watch for Preakness or Black Eyed Susan or whatnot. Maryland Millions Lassie was for the two-year-old fillies going six furlongs, and it will be number 12 getting it done as the favorite. Hello Beautiful, $5.40, sticking together the number three runs second as a 2-1 second choice, and Worst Best Idea Ever at 97-1 completes the trend. Boy, how appropriate is that name? At 97-1 runs third in here. But Hello Beautiful gets it done. Sheldon Russell on board, trained by Brittany Russell. Are they related?
Yeah, husband and wife.
Ah, perfect. There you go. So, and Hello Beautiful gets it done.
everything about this horse, about this story is pretty cool. It was it's the first stakes win for Brittany Russell as a trainer. She's got her husband in the iron. They have a new baby, Edie, and Edie's name is on the back of Sheldon's pants, and the baby was in the winner's circle with him. This is a horse that they went to Timonium and bought for $6,500,
The
daughter of Golden Lad. After this horse broke her maiden, they sold her to Matakay Stables and a bunch of others for a lot more than $6,500. But the new owners left the horse with Brittany Russell and came, you know. So there were a lot of tears and hugs in the winner's circle after this one yesterday. And this was this horse was really ran a good race yesterday. Sheldon put the horse right in the winning spot, you know. She broke well from the far outside. He put her right up, pressing the pace, and kind of got rid of the horse to her inside, and then went on to win by almost four lengths. Clearly best here, and really good effort. This filly seems like she's going to be a runner. Golden Lad, who is her sire, it's his first win, his first crop for two-year-olds, his first win in a Maryland Million race, and his horses have hit the ground running. This is one of those stories you see in these kind of state-bred or state-sired races, you know, just kind of neat connections, a fun story, and people pretty excited about the future.
Yeah, you see Matakay in there, and then you hear the story, and you realize they scored out on a nice purchase, $6,500. And when I hear those stories, that's a lot of fun too, because particularly when they keep they're loyal to the original connections, and you hope that maybe this horse does go on and next year become kind of an interesting 3-year-old for them, and they can kind of score out on both ends.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's certainly good reason to think that this might be a filly that could stretch out. I mean, Brittany Russell has thought that, you know, they've tried her on the turf a couple times, and she's actually run good races, and they kind of thought she might be better on turf, but right now it looks like she's better on dirt. You know, with Golden Lad, there's Tisnell on the bottom. There's certainly reason to think she could stretch out, and she's run pretty fast a couple of times now. They went 10-1 in this race, which is racehorse time. And, you know, certainly she seems like a filly with a future here.
Yeah, field of 12, and you get it done in a field like that and do it as convincingly as she did. It's probably a nice little future there, so we'll keep our eyes on Hello Beautiful. Love the name, too. all right, Maryland Millions ladies, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, given the situation. Preference to Maryland sired horses, but if it scratches to a field of less than eight, Maryland breds can get in. And coming in from the AE list was Zonda, and the Maryland Million ladies, Zonda scratches in for Jim Lawrence and Matt Shearer and gets it done at a 5-1 price. The 4-5 favorite, My Sister Sledge, the number one horse running second. Gould's Night Out runs third as the second choice at 5-2. But again, the luck of the scratch, Zonda gets it done.
Yeah, I've got to believe it's the first Maryland Million win for Zonda's sire, Scat Daddy. He's won some other important races, but I can't imagine he's got too many Maryland Million wins. But, yeah, this is kind of a lucky break for Chucky Lawrence. He had a stake in New York, I think, next week, also on the plate for this horse, but was hoping to draw in because this figured to be an easier spot than that was going to be. Although he had to beat My Sister Sledge. My Sister Sledge is a real racehorse as well. She had won this race the last 2 years, was trying to become only the seventh horse to win a Maryland Million race three times, rallied from eighth, you know, rallied from the rear of the field. It got to close to even terms, sort of hitting the head of the lane, but Zonda kicked away. Really nice ride there for Victor Carrasco. Kind of had this horse pressing the pace early, you know, in a good spot, and then had plenty left to kick away when the favorite came to her. So nice effort for Zonda, and obviously a good break for Chucky Lawrence. I guess he was apparently bringing the horse down anyway. I think he had another horse in elsewhere on the card, and then the stews told him around 10 o'clock in the morning, hey, there's a scratch, your horse is in. So good break for them and worked out pretty well here.
So, why can't I be lucky like that?
I'm with you on that.
I did not call for a replay of this next race we're going to talk about, but again, we're kind of working our way back chronologically, and in a second we will get to a replay of the final stake, the two-year-old race. But in between the third race on the card yesterday was the Maryland Million Distaff. And again, I didn't call for the replay, but you and I were talking before we went on the air. And as I look at the chart and the PPs, this was a pretty interesting story in that the Maryland Millions Distaff handicap was won by Anna's Bandit yesterday, coming off a pretty quick turnaround. And boy, you look at her record. She's a win machine this year.
She's one of those fun stories, you know, one of those fun horses that you know, she's not going to go on and win graded stakes, most likely. I mean, she doesn't appear to be that quality, but in these local stakes, she's just a beast, and she always runs a race. And as you alluded to, she won the West Virginia Breeders Classic Cavada, which is their filly and mare race, last Saturday.
And again, let me just interrupt for a second, because the guys in the control, thanks to them, they pulled up the replay, and so we are watching the stretch run here. Anna's Bandit will be the number one horse. Sorry to interrupt, Frank. Go ahead.
No, not a problem. She won the Cavada last weekend, the West Virginia Breeders Classics race. She was 1-9 there. I mean, it was kind of a can't-possibly-lose situation. Comes back just a week later, gets it done here. Xavier Perez, who's a regular rider, just has a really special connection with this horse. This whole, everything about this filly is pretty neat. I guess she's a mare now, but it's the homebred for Jerry Robb, owned by him and his wife Gina, races for their No Guts, No Glory farm. She was actually born 3 weeks early, so she was premature. She's had some issues. Finally got her going right, and she's now over $600,000 in earnings, and nice effort here, slips through inside, wins pretty easily. Just a really, you know, a fun story. And I was talking to Jerry Robb after the race, the trainer, and kind of said, well, you know, what are you going to do with her now, you know, having run her twice in a week? And he kind of jokingly looked at his watch. He said, well, I think they enter for Penn National pretty soon. So, but, you know, this is a horse that literally every time she wins, you know, Gina and Jerry end up crying and hugging each other. And apparently this is the other funny part of the story. They were watching the race upstairs in the dining room, and at about the eighth pole, Anna's Bandit had come to even terms with Conjecture, and they lost the TV picture. So they didn't even know what was going on because they couldn't see. And I said to Gina, what did you do? And she said, we just started screaming at each other. So just, you know, a lot of fun. This is a lot of fun. You know, this horse has been a lot of fun. And something to be said, too, I think she's a good example. She's now 5 years old. She finished third in both of these races last year. Something to be said for sticking around. You know, she's a better mare now. She's a better runner now than she was a year ago. She's kind of outlasted some of the horses that maybe were a little bit better than she was, and has really come into her own this year. And they're saying they're going to bring her back as a six-year-old, so that's something to look forward to as well.
Yeah, 15 wins and 31 starts now, well over $600,000 in the bank for what is technically a West Virginia bred. But Frank, as we were talking, I'm going down the PPs here. Last couple of starts at Charlestown in state bred company, West Virginia bred. But there's a Timonium race that's listed as a state bred race. And then the Conniver earlier this year back at Laurel, also listed as a state bred race. So with the sire, does that get with a Maryland sire, does that get a horse like Anna's Bandit into some of those Maryland state bred races?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Most of those Maryland state bred races are written as Maryland bred, Maryland sire.
Okay.
So as a daughter of Great Notion, who by the way is the leading active sire in Maryland Million wins. This was his 13th yesterday. He's well clear of any of the other active sires. But he's a little bit behind Not For Love, who had 36 Maryland Million wins as a sire. So ways to go to catch up to him. But that is, in fact, how she draws into those races.
All right, and finally, the Maryland Millions Nursery. As I said earlier when we looked at the Phillies race, I love these two-year-old races because we can look to the future and see if perhaps we have one that will step out into open company and be a nice three-year-old next year. And maybe we do with Our Nation on Parade, the number six horse. When I talked to Acacia Courtney yesterday, that one kind of jumped out at me and clearly jumped out at everybody. Went off as essentially the even money favorite. Off the career debut, near miss, but with a buyer figure that had a little bit of an edge on this bunch. So he comes into this race, technically, not technically, he was a maiden, having just missed in the career debut. But boy, this was a pretty good-looking maiden breaker in the stakes race yesterday for Our Nation on Parade. Chart margin 3 3/4.
Certainly an impressive effort for this horse. I mean, one clue to this horse's potential coming into yesterday's race was the ownership change. Dean Reeves Racing LLC, they're the folks who owned Mucho Macho Man. They bought this horse out of his debut when he finished second, and that would be called paying immediate dividends, turning him right around in the Maryland Million Nursery and winning for fun. This horse was a ton the best in this race under Noel Beato and a little bit of late run from Stone Courageous, who was 30-1 to get up for second, but Our Nation on Parade, it was even money, as you said, and he performed like an even money runner should. It would be interesting to see what happens going forward. The horse is trained by Bernie Houghton for his first two starts. It'll be interesting to see whether Dean Reeves leaves him with Bernie or
whether he wants to keep training at Penn National.
Right. And what they're going to do. Certainly, Bernie did a good job getting him to this spot, getting him ready to come out and win here, and he did it like a good horse should. So,
I said it earlier, you would love to see that. I'm just not sure, being based at Penn National, whether that'll happen. And for folks who aren't familiar with Dean Reeves, we've had him on a bunch of times at Saratoga, but certainly we had him on this year with his partner Randy Hill. They own Tax, and so you would have to think with Dean buying this horse, he thought there was a good 2-year-old and good 3-year-old potential. So as I say, you hope to see horses that will move into open company next year, and you would have to think that'll be the game plan with Our Nation on Parade.
Yeah, I mean, he was talking possibly about bringing this horse back for the Maryland Juvenile Championship, or Juvenile Futurity, I think it's called now, which is in December. But he's also saying, well, you know, maybe there's some races up in New York we need to look at, too. So you might be seeing this horse up in the Empire State sooner than later as well.
Yeah, very good, because it was certainly an impressive performance. Yes, maybe on the card as we went through those stakes races, maybe that was the most impressive victory.
This was a really good effort. You know, this horse, he was the favorite. He ran like the favorite. This was a really good effort. They went 109.73 for 3/4. Now, for comparison purposes, the Phillies went 110.3, and the good older horses in the sprint went 108.80. So about a second slower than the good older horses, but that's about what you'd expect for 2-year-olds at this point, too. So this was a really good effort, and certainly the ownership change and who those connections are suggests that they think big things. Not unlike the 2-year-old filly. I mean, I'm kind of excited to see both the 2-year-old winners going forward.
Yeah, again, the 2-year-old races on this day always are a little bit exciting, and they proved to be so again this year. Frank, as always, we appreciate the visit. Again, I'll tell people to swing by theracingbiz.com to keep up with all the racing action in the Mid-Atlantic region and beyond. Plenty of great racing news in general there as well. Before we let you go, I talked to Acacia Courtney yesterday, as I said, and I laughed. I talked to Dave Rodman on the show occasionally, and he brought it up a few years ago, and I said, and I wonder if you've taken advantage of this, one of the best racetrack giveaways in all of the industry at Laurel, Pie Giveaway Day, which has to be coming up.
It's Thanksgiving Day, in fact.
Yeah, which makes sense.
It's by far my favorite giveaway of all time. I mean, they give away shirts and hats and all sorts of tchotchkes, and who cares, but if there's pie, I'm there. And that has been our Thanksgiving dessert more than one year and over the years. It's tremendous. I love it. You know, it's funny because actually, having talked with the marketing folks there, they really don't like it because I guess it's really expensive for them. But you know, they tried to get rid of it one year, and I think the I think people were with torches and pitchforks gonna storm the gates, so they had to bring it back.
Yeah, once you start Pi Day, you're in.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah. You can't get rid of Pi Day. What are you nuts? So yeah, very excited about Pi Day.
Yeah, as I say, that to me seems like one of the best racetrack giveaways. And the flip side of that, I always laugh. I'll bring it up. I was down at Pompano Park, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. We were down in Florida for Florida Derby, so I went over one night to Pompano Park. I walked in, I bought a program, and a guy hands me this big plastic thing, which almost looked like a hat, like a futuristic hat or something. I said, "What is this?" He said, "It's the giveaway today." I said, "Yeah, but what is it?" He said, "It's a cake plate." I said, "A cake plate?" So that would rank at the bottom of my racetrack giveaways, although I still have it in my apartment. I still have, I have not put a cake on it yet, but I point to it when people come in and say, "Yeah, racetrack giveaway."
Yeah, I will, kind of a pro tip for racetracks. If people have to ask what the giveaway actually is, it may not be working very well.
And then I walked by, at the end of the night, I walked by the little area where they were. There were still a lot of cake plates available. I think some people were turning them down. Frank, again, really appreciate the visit, and we will talk again.
All right, Seth, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Frank Vespi, theracingbiz.com. Again, swing on by and check it out. Lots of great racing news there on a regular basis. All right, that brings us to the end. I will mention, Sully, yesterday the feature at Keeneland, the Raven Run, it was Bell's the One getting it done. 13-1, a little bit of an upset. Indian Pride, the Chad Brown runner, 7-5, ran third in there.
Yeah, that was an interesting race. And I think one person hit the pick five yesterday, paid $307,000. Oh, yeah. So. Took down the whole pool and then paid off the five of sixes. So it was, congratulations, ever hit that. I thought it was a $96 ticket that took the whole thing down.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. And I mentioned a couple of days ago, I think our friend Steve Bick helped one person win the late pick five in New York, which looking at the size of the pool, which was like 90-something, and the payoff, I think it was only one person, because the payoff was about $72,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bick's horse won the finale on Friday at $57.
Minute Mouse,
so
right?
Somebody won.
Minute Mouse?
Minute Mouse. Yeah. I texted him after the race and said, congratulations, and we texted back and forth. But I didn't see the payoff until the next day. I didn't ask him if he had it, although I think he might have bragged about that on the text.
Yeah.
He was happy that Minute Mouse won. Somebody was really happy.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'd say
Minute Mouse won. All right, wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. Seth Merrill and Sully Crotty. Do want to remind people to swing in Clubhouse Racebook today for an NFL Sunday. Watch all the football action, all the racing action. Wear a jersey. You get in for free. Put your name on one of the squares, maybe a winner jersey or a food voucher, but you can watch all the games and all the racing action every Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. I don't know if I want to watch my Jets.
They play tomorrow, so you're good. You don't have to today.
That's right. And then it's the only option on a Monday. Woodbine, pick, bet, and cheer on great racing north of the border. Do want to thank them for their sponsorship. I said it like a month ago. I'm waiting for college basketball season
as
a Syracuse graduate. Because even the after last year, I thought Syracuse was back on a little
roll.
They lost
a lot of players.
Man, it has not been. I was listening to someone about it on the radio a couple of nights ago, and it was a schlag against Pittsburgh. So, yeah, football season has not been kind to my favorite teams. But and typically it's not kind to the Jets. That would have been an aberration anyway. Sully, good luck this afternoon.
Good luck to you.
Good luck to all of you. I'll be back in an hour and a half or so with OTB Live on a Sunday afternoon. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.